All right, well, I don't know about you all, but I could leave, go home right now, and just be in awe of our God. But since we do have time this morning, we are going to look into the Word of God. It is good to be back with our family. I purpose this week to stop saying new family, because we are a part of the family now. We're thankful to be with my family, who surprised me this weekend, as well as our church family here. To be able to be with you all, to fellowship with you all, and to worship the Lord together. We are in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 this morning. As we've been looking through the book of Philippians, we are seeing that Paul is writing to a very, very dear body of believers to him. And I couldn't help but think as I was sitting there this morning, and some of the things that we've gone over about how the church of Philippi was centered on Christ, their unity was around the gospel, the source of their mission was Christ to propel his name forward, and the partnership a church has, and partnership only works if there's humility and there's an all-hands-on-deck effort. We've talked about all those things, and I couldn't help but think as I was sitting there this morning that one of the main reasons why we are excited about being here at Eagle Heights Baptist Church is because the body of believers exemplifies what Paul is saying here. And even this morning, as we go on in Philippians chapter 1, again, I just want to encourage you guys that there is a testament here at Eagle Heights Baptist Church that this is being done. And we want to make sure that it's protected, that it continues to go forth, not for the sake of ourselves, not for the sake of Pastor Starr or Pastor Francine, but for the sake of Christ's name, so that we can have an impact on the surrounding area. We're in Philippians chapter 1. We haven't gone very far in the chapter. We went through verse 5 in the last 2 weeks. We've been taking it a little slow. So 2 weeks ago, we began the study, and we learned that the epistle was written by Paul while he was in house arrest in Rome. And so Paul was kind of waiting on his verdict, if you will, and so the Romans allowed him to be at home but still on house arrest. And so this is the time where most scholars believe Paul is writing to this body of believers in the city of Philippi. Now, the city of Philippi is interesting, and we've talked about this, because Paul, on his first missionary journey, did not have plans to go to this city. He wanted to go to Troas. That was his heart. And God changed his heart when God called him to Macedonia. And so Paul is on his way to Macedonia, but he has to pass through the small town of Philippi. And here at Philippi, Paul is introduced to a body of believers that he is able to help start. And amongst them, we see Lydia, amongst the women that he meets by the river and witnesses to. Lydia houses them. And we also see, probably in this body of believers, the Philippian jailer, when Paul and Silas are in prison at the end of Acts 16. And they're singing praises to God and worshiping him despite their circumstance. An earthquake comes and the Philippian jailer goes to kill himself. And Paul says, wait, everybody's still in their cells. And immediately, the Philippian jailer asks to be saved. These are some of the people that you might find in this body of believers that Paul is writing to here. Even though he was there for a short time, his time there lasted for eternity. And we see that in the body of believers. This group of believers was not the work of Paul, but rather the work of Paul's God. And you see that all throughout Acts chapter 16. So the first week we looked at verse 1 and saw that Christ is the center of a servant's life. Paul introduces himself as servant of Jesus Christ, a bond slave. Christ is the center of salvation. We looked at that, and he called them saints. And then lastly, we looked at that Christ is the center of the church's unity and mission. It says that they were saints in Christ, that their fellowship in the gospel, their partnership in the gospel. Last week, we looked at verses 2 through 5. And we really looked at the word in verse 5, that is fellowship there in verse 5, which is koinonia, which means partnership. And we talked about, and we looked at how we as a body of believers here at Eagle Heights Baptist Church are a partnership or individuals formed as a group because of one main goal. And that goal is to propel the name of Christ forward. We saw that partnership takes humility and that it is an all-hands-on-deck mentality. Everyone must do their part. And that is the one, if not the most effective way to propel and glorify the name of Christ, because it's a group effort. And because of that, it needs to be protected. Because not only Paul recognizes the impact a partnership can have, but Satan does as well. We looked at that last week. So this morning, as we look at this passage, we are going to see that Paul gives us a good example of brotherly love within a group of believers. Once again, as we look at Philippians, let me just remind you that for the sake of time, here we will be, some verses we'll take just by interpretation. We'll kind of interpret them, see what God is saying, but we're not necessarily going to take a lot of time and apply those things for the sake of time to kind of get through our study here. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we will get into this passage. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for the God that you are. We thank you for everything that you've given us. I pray that as we look into your word this morning, that our hearts would be open to what you have for us, that our lives would be impacted, and that we as a church would continue in this topic of brotherly love, that would continue to be a part of our lives so that when people see us, a body of believers, they don't see us, but they see Christ. We pray that that would be true of our lives this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife loves me. No, I'm serious. She absolutely adores me. On any given day, I'll be sitting in my office, and usually every day I will get a text saying, I love you. She doesn't just text me, I love you, though. She backs it up. I'll go home, and I pretty much every day have a nice dinner waiting for me. She takes time to listen to what happened during the day. Even this weekend, my birthday was on Wednesday, and she surprised me with getting my family to come down. We went to a Royals game yesterday. I mean, she just absolutely adores me. But don't fret, because I love her too, okay? I love her too. Now, I tell her all the time that I love her. We have been married for almost 1 year, and before that, we knew each other for almost 3 years. But I tell her all the time that I love her. And even on one occasion in the past 4 years that I've known her, all right, I bought her a rose. It was $2. All right, I bought her this $2 rose. I was going to give it to her. But on my way to give it to her, I struck an even better deal. And I passed this Hershey Kiss on the ground that still had part of the wrapper on it. And so I was like, man, flowers and chocolate. I'm really going to show her that I love her. So I brought it to her. Now, since then, I have not come across such a deal. But that one time in the past 4 years has shown my love, right? That was a great way. You might be sitting there looking at me a little bit strangely, some of you are, and saying, that's really not love, all right? Because love is an action. Love is something that you show and not just say. This morning, we are going to see that the same love that Paul displayed that was unique was proven, and based on Christ, is the same love Paul says should be overflowing in the church of Philippi. That's what we're going to look at this morning. We left off in verse 5, and so the next verse that we come to is verse 6. It says, let no man deceive you with vain word, or sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now this verse is talking about the work of salvation. Christ has done that through his grace, and then scholars go back and forth on whether the last part of the verse will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ is talking about the assurance of salvation or the grace of God being what helps us in sanctification. And for sake of time this morning, the answer is yes. All right, the grace of God does both. It is our assurance of salvation until the end. We are in God's hand. We will never lose that. And that same grace that has saved us from our sin is the same grace that helps in the work of sanctification in our lives until the end day. We see that, and Peter talks about that in 1 Peter, and how he's given us everything we need to live a life that is glorifying to him. And so that's what he's talking about in verse 6, but our passage this morning, we really are going to kind of park on verses 7 through 9. So let's read those together. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. The first thing that I see here is that Paul's love was very unique. When we say that something is unique, we are saying that it is special or it's distinct, right? That's what the word unique means. When I was a child, me and my younger brother had probably 30-some G.I. Joe action figures, right? And they used to be very popular. We'd play with them all the time. And so on any given day, we would get these G.I. Joes out. We would be playing with these action figures, and they would be going to war. And after we'd been playing them for 30 minutes, you know, it looked like they had been coming back from war. Their legs would be off. You know, they'd be all over the place. Pieces of their body would be laying all over the place. But there was this one G.I. Joe that my brother and my sisters knew not to touch. All right, and I named him Drew. And this G.I. Joe was the coolest G.I. Joe ever. All right, to me, he was good looking. He was the strongest of all of them. And anytime I called on Drew to come into battle, the battle was basically over. He'd leave without a scratch. All right, you were not to touch this G.I. Joe. He was special. He was unique. He was distinct. This love that Paul displays here is both unique and needs to be guarded with every effort, is what he's saying here. This love that Paul displays here, we see as he uses terms like, I have you in my heart, there in verse 7, or how greatly I long after you, or the bowels of my heart in Jesus Christ. All of those phrases, it shows that this love is unique. It is a love. It's where we get the word Philadelphia, which means brotherly love, the city of brotherly love. Many times we think of this type of love as a general use of the word like, oh, we have to love everyone. That's kind of how we throw it out many times. But actually, this brotherly love is uniquely formed because of both familiarity and experience. That's how this brotherly love is formed. For Paul, this was a love that was formed over time and experience with these believers in Philippi. You see, Paul's time with the Philippian believers, while very fruitful, was not exactly ideal. You see, Paul's time with the Philippian believers, he was thrown into prison in Philippi, had to go into hiding, had many people mock at him and the believers in Acts chapter 16. And you see this bond of love between the believers was formed because of the experiences that they had been a part of together. That's what brotherly love is. It is formed over these experiences, this familiarity. It's a unique love. They were able to see God work firsthand in freeing Paul and Silas from prison. They witnessed firsthand God casting a demon out of a little girl who had been following Paul or Silas around. You see that in Acts chapter 16, verse 18. It says, in this day, she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of the same hour. They saw God work by many people being saved and added to the church. They saw God work by answering prayers, souls being saved, and renewing their spirits. We read that in the last verse in Acts chapter 16. This was a unique love that was bonded over persecution in the work of God. And that is what phileo, or brotherly love, is. It is a love that is developed because of the experiences that you have together and the familiarity that you have with one another. So Paul implores the church of Philippi to have this same love amongst themselves. This unique love that can be formed by experiencing life's trials and blessings together. It is during those trials and blessings we must allow our love and relationships with our God and our other believers to be strengthened. Unfortunately, too many times, instead of allowing those experiences to strengthen our love for the brethren, hard times can sometimes generate bitterness. Blessings, or when somebody succeeds, can many times generate jealousy. One of my friends back in South Bend put a post on Facebook a couple days ago about him golfing, and he said, I drove the green on a par 4, and I was just kind of texting him. It was just a picture, and so I texted him back, and I was like, whatever, you just took that picture. You put the golf ball there. And he responded, and he was like, yeah, okay, whatever, you're just jealous, all right? But unfortunately, many times, these experiences Paul has experienced with the Philippians are the same things that generate jealousy and bitterness amongst believers. And that's a sad thing, because those are the things that should be strengthening our love for the brethren. You see, the very things that can make this love stronger than ever and make it unique and can be the very things that tear a group of believers apart. The experiences we go through as a church body will either strengthen our love in this midst, or pride will get in the way. We can relate with this church in Philippi this morning. We can look at our past and present and see that we, like the church of Philippi, experienced some of the most darkest of times together, as well as experiencing some of God's greatest works. We can look at our past and see that. We can look at our present and see that. As we meet together today, we are experiencing both sides of the coin, as we as a church have gone through this trial with our pastor, while at the same time experiencing God's answer to prayer that he is here this morning. These are the times that can either make our bond of love unique and strong or pull us farther apart. And in these times, how do we make sure that our love is strengthened and not torn apart? We see it goes back to our first sermon in Philippians. It's that all about Christ mindset. We must live with a mindset that is centered on Christ and not ourselves as individuals and as a body. You see, when life is about ourselves and our own comfort and preferences, that is when our reactions are wrong in those circumstances. But when our lives are about Christ's name being magnified, that is when this unique love is formed. And that is what Paul is experiencing with the believers in Philippi. Because their lives were not about themselves. They didn't let pride get in the way, preferences, or their own wants or feelings. They realized that individually and as a body, it was about Christ. And as a result, when the darkest of times came, and when God did his greatest work in the church of Philippi, their love was strengthened even more. And that should be true of us here at Eagle Heights as well. And it is true. We have a testament of that today. This morning we've heard that. And this is a love that needs to be both unique because of the experiences that we share together as a body, as a partnership, but not just unique, but it needs to be protected. Just like that unique G.I. Joe figure. It needs to be protected. Because Paul realizes that at the source of Christ being magnified in a body of believers, there has to be brotherly love. And without brotherly love, the name of Christ is not propelled forward. Paul experiences this unique love with the Philippians, and he challenges the church in verse 9, you see that, to allow this love to form in them more and more. It's not just a unique love, though. We also see that Paul's love was proven by action, all right? Love is not just a word that we throw out, but it's an action that we do. I could tell my wife 50 times a day that I love her, right? But if I never backed that up or proved it with action, then there is no true love there. And the same is true with brotherly love. Paul did not just say that he loved the believers in Philippi. He truly proved it by writing them this letter, by praying for them in verse 9 in the beginning of the chapter, and doing what he could to meet their spiritual and physical needs. His love was proven. These are the same types of actions that the church in Thessalonica was known for. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. I think it's interesting that he uses the word labor of love there because too many times we throw love out as just a word. But it's an action. It's a work. It's a work of love. All of these things that Paul is proving his I love you with from the bottom of my heart, he's proving it with actions. These works of love. Action means to do something or to perform an act is what it literally means. I highly doubt when Paul says he loves the believers in Philippi that they need proof. Because he proved it over and over. Because to Paul, love was not the absence of wrongdoing or the simple words, I love you, brother or sister, but rather a way of life that performed these acts of love on a consistent basis. Love is not just not doing something mean or not doing something hateful. Love is not just saying, I love you. Love is the action of doing something. John 15, verse 12 says, this is my commandment that ye love one another as I loved you. Christ says, this is my command to you that you demonstrate the same love to others that I demonstrated for you. It was a sacrificial and it was not dependent on likes and dislikes. Here at Eagle Heights Baptist Church, this love must not only be formed through the experiences among our body and be unique and protected, but it must abound more and more, like he says in verse 9, in our actions amongst our body. We want to be known as the church in Thessalonica, where Paul says in chapter 4 and verse 9 of his first epistle to them, but as touching brotherly love, or the topic of brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. I don't have to remind you this. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Eagle Heights needs to be known as that as well. These acts of love are shown through meeting each other's physical needs. It's shown by taking concern for their trials and their troubles more than just on Sundays when you see them occasionally. We've already heard a testament of that today. It is shown by prayer with and for them. If someone is in need of encouragement, then you are there to be that encouragement for them. If someone needs help with a task, you jump in and help. When someone is ill, you jump in and make a meal. When someone does something great for the glory of God, you be the one who encourages them. And when someone is going through a trial, you be the one that is there for them. You see, that is the type of love that needs to be overflowing in a body of believers for the name of Christ to be magnified to the level that it truly can be in a partnership. These are the things that should be overflowing. Paul uses the phrase in verse 9 and says, more and more. It has the idea of overflowing like water in a cup. Not just adding to the cup every once in a while, but consistently pouring it in so that it overflows. And when people see this group of believers, one of the first things that catches their eye is the love of Christ overflowing in individuals' lives and as the body. Where my wife and I are finishing up in South Bend, Indiana, there are days in the school where I am in charge of fourth and fifth grade recess. And it's very interesting. And so I took it over this last semester. And for a while, I would just kind of sit back and watch them play kickball, dodgeball, freeze tag, capture the flag, whatever it would be. And I would scold them. I would cheer them on, just kind of be their referee, if you will, when I was there. But eventually, I don't know what day this started, I started playing with them. And the kids loved that, all right? When I would play freeze tag, though, it soon became not freeze tag, but whoever could get Mr. Star out, all right? And so I'm sitting there like, let's play freeze tag or let's play capture the flag. And it quickly turns into whoever can just catch Mr. Star. So instead of them getting a good burning off their energy at recess, I am wiped for my next two classes in the day. All right, but when I play freeze tag, I say, all right, two people are it. I'll call two names out. But eventually, everybody's chasing after me, and there are about 20 kids in the fourth and fifth graders. And so I'm running all over the playground, and everywhere I look, there's another child running at me. They're salivating at the mouth. Their eyes are bloodshot, all right? And they're just constantly running everywhere I looked, all right? That's the idea, what we get with more and more, overflowing. Everywhere someone looks, when they come into this body of believers, they're seeing these acts of love. It's overflowing. It's everywhere you look. That is the type of love that needs to be in Eagle Heights Baptist Church. And Paul says more and more overflowing. So how is your love proven for the brethren this morning? Are you noticing needs and meeting them? Are you preferring others over yourselves? Last week we talked about being carpet-minded, willing to be unnoticed and walked all over for the sake of Christ. How is your love proven? We must ask ourselves how and in what areas we have been lacking in demonstrating love, and we must have a future mindset so that we have a plan in place to show our love in the next coming days. This love is unique and it is set apart from the world around us. Paul realizes the important role that love for each other has in the mission of propelling and glorifying the name of Christ in a body of believers. You see, without this brotherly love overflowing amongst our midst, then the name of Christ is not magnified to the point it could be when there is brotherly love. And that is why Paul takes this time to tell the church of Philippi and reminds the church of Thessalonica and many of his other churches that he writes to, there needs to be this brotherly love amongst your midst. Not for your own sakes, not so that people can see you, but so that the name of Christ can be propelled forward in your ministry, in your partnership. So we see that Paul's love was unique. We see that Paul's love was proven. The last thing that I see here is that Paul's love was centered on Christ. The last phrase of verse 8, Paul says, "How greatly I long for you in the bowels of Christ." Now that's a little confusing. The word bowels here is how in early years people used the phrase "from the bottom of my heart." All right, we say, "I love you from the bottom of my heart," or something like that. That's how they use the word bowels. It means from the depths of me, from the deepest part of me, I love you. All right, and so he says, he used the phrase "from the bottom of my heart," from deep within, I long for you, in or according to Jesus Christ. You see, Christ was the reason for this love, and he was also the example of this love in Paul's life. We look at this, and we see this in Paul's life in his introduction in verse 1 when he says that he is a servant or a bond slave, a slave to Christ. We see that his life was all about Christ. It was the reason for why he did what he did, and we looked at that already. Paul consistently says this in many of his letters. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15, he says it very well. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see, as believers, Paul understood that when he looked at the gift of God that he had been given, in return, his life was going to be for Christ in return. And that was the reason for Paul showing this love, for Christ exemplifying this love. Paul was so overwhelmed at what Christ had done for him in his life that in return, his living, his acts were for the purpose of pushing the name of Christ forward. Throughout Paul's entire life, you can read about it in Acts and all of his epistles. He wasn't pushing his name forward. Paul, the one who shows us so much love, and is such a good Christian, that's not what he's looking for, all right? But in his life, he would rather hear, Christ, who has changed my life, is the only thing good in me, and you want the same Christ as your friend. That's what Paul's life was about, and that's why he exemplifies and proves this unique love to the church in Philippi, because of what Christ had done for him. It was the reason for his love. Too often our living is for ourselves. The things that we do may be good things and maybe even biblical things, biblical commands or principles, but we can do them with the wrong motive. How do I know? Because I know my heart. Right? I know that Pastor Joe does good things for the sake of people seeing myself. My motives have been so that people think I'm talented or that I'm a good Christian, and that's happened in my life. My prayer is that my life would be so overwhelmed by Christ that every action is with his glory in mind. And that is what Paul's prayer is, and that's what should be the prayer of every individual in our partnership here at Eagle Heights Baptist Church. Not so that people can see us, not so that people can see Pastor Star or Pastor Francine or see me play the piano, but so that people can see Christ. Eagle Heights Baptist Church must be characterized by love if we are going to propel the name of Christ forward. The individuals in our body must be living for Christ and not self. And the result will be that this partnership in Kansas City of believers will have an impact and people will see our Savior, our Creator. Does the message of Christ compel you to live for Him and Him alone as a Christian? You see, this love was unique. It was formed over experiences, over trials, over dark times, and over God's greatest work. And because their focus was on God, they didn't let those times pull them apart, but let them grow stronger together in their love. But this wasn't just something that they said either. It was proven by their actions. If you were to visit the church in Philippi or the church of Thessalonica, you would see this overflowing love. Individuals constantly showing this brotherly love to one another. In the darkest of times, when someone succeeds, when someone needs encouragement, all of those times, they see this love overflowing everywhere they look in the midst of the body. Not only is Christ the reason for Paul's love here, but it's also Christ is the example. Not only was Christ the reason that Paul lived his entire life with love for the brethren, but Christ exemplified this love that Paul was trying to show towards the Philippians. When the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's not just a statement, you see, it's been proven. That act of love has been done. It's not just something we say as Christians, for God so loved the world. No, the rest of the phrase is how he proved it, that he gave his only begotten son. See, that is the love that Paul is trying to mimic. That brotherly love that is sacrificial, that is not dependent on who likes me or who I like. It's the salvation message, is what Christ did for us on the cross. He is the example. We talked about this, our first verse in Philippians, and we talked about how Christ is the center of our salvation. You see, there's a problem. The good news, the gospel, starts with bad news. We're all sinners, and we all deserve for that sin death in hell. But the good news is how Christ has proven that love, sending himself to die on the cross for his creation, the creation that chose to reject him. And yet he came to this earth as a man, fully God and fully man, and died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. He didn't stay in the grave, though he rose from the dead. That is the love that Paul is trying to exemplify amongst believers. You see, this was a unique love because it's not just a love that when God says, love your enemies, you love them. This is a unique brotherly love that is formed because of the experiences and familiarity in a body of believers. It's a unique love and must be protected. But it's not just something we say, it's something we must prove with actions. And we have a perfect example of this love in Jesus Christ. And the reason we should do it is because of what Christ has done for us. That's what Paul is saying here. And so as we look at these several verses, look at them again in verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. This is talking about Paul's grace. Ye all are partakers. That's the same word we looked at in verse 5, koinonia, partnership. Ye all are partners in this grace, in the grace that I have and the grace that you have, which is our relationship with Jesus Christ. We've already looked at how Christ is the center of our lives. If we've truly been saved from our sin, then we should be willing to be slaves to Christ. It's reasonable. It's what he deserves. He's the center of salvation. But as we, as a body, we've talked about us being partners. Partners for the sake of the gospel. Our unity is centered on the gospel, and our mission is centered on Christ to propel his name forward. And for that mission to work, we looked at last week, we must have humility. We must have an all-hands-on-deck effort. And then this morning we saw that we must have brotherly love in the midst of our body. This is the type of love that Paul is trying to exemplify here. So in conclusion this morning, how are we showing this love amongst ourselves? All right, it almost seems foolish to give this message this morning because it's already been exemplified here this morning. We've seen it over and over again. How can we continue it? How can you as an individual do your part in the partnership to keep it going and propel it even more forward? Maybe there are situations that come up in our church that should be growing us closer together in love, that make us unique. Maybe you need to jump in and do your part when those situations come. Maybe it's a trial. Maybe it's a blessing. Maybe it's somebody succeeding. Do your part in that brotherly love and making that unique love even stronger here at Eagle Heights Baptist Church. Maybe it's that in your mind, yes, you love the body here. You love being a part on Sundays here. You love seeing people here. But where are the actions? Right? Love is an action word. So maybe this morning you can look at your life and say, I need more actions to prove my love. Right? Not like Pastor Joe giving his wife a $2 rose and a stepped on Hershey kiss. All right. Proven love, acts of love. And as we strive to do this, we have a perfect example. And as we look at in the book of Nehemiah on Sunday nights, when our mind, our hearts are focused on the things of God, there are natural, consistent acts. And so if we focus our life on Christ this morning, what he has done for us, it should strike this love in return for the brethren, for each other. And we see a perfect example of it. So this morning, here at Eagle Heights Baptist Church, this partnership to propel the name of Christ forward, Paul encourages the church of Philippi to have this unique love that is proven by actions, that is based on Jesus Christ, abounding and overflowing in their midst. So this morning, let's purpose as well here at Eagle Heights Baptist Church to have that same unique, proven love based on Jesus Christ, like verse 9 says, more and more. Let's bow for prayer.